الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة، وخلق منها زوجها، وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن الأصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، حياكم الله إخوان في الله وأخوات، الله يحفظكم. It's honor to be back here, mashallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, Dar Sunnah, that our brothers have invited me, alhamdulillah, to be able to talk about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is indeed a small reminder to myself and to my brothers and my sisters. It's nothing that we take from ourselves, except that we bring to you that which is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, and likewise the explanations of our mashaykh. Without any further delay, then regarding tonight's topic, then it's about not to compromise our religion, not to compromise the elements of our aqeedah, and likewise our manhaj and our methodology. If we analyze, ikhwan, the seerah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, within the seerah itself, and in the life of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as the time when the revelation was coming to him, you will see that there is a manhaj and a methodology adapted regarding preserving our deen. And tonight's lecture, inshallah, will be revolving around that. That when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ordered to go out and call the people to this deen of Islam, to tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the events that took place after this, this is what we were going to discuss. We will look and analyze the events that took place and the hardship that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went through by calling the people to this tawheed. We start off, ikhwan, going back to when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was ordered, when he received the amr of Ya Ayyuhal Mudathir, O you Muhammad wrapped in garments, Kun fa'anzir, arise and warn, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and glorify your Lord, وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَاهِرْ, and purify your garments, وَرُجْزَ فَحْجُرْ, and keep away from our rujz, which as the Mufassirun have mentioned here, the intent is the idols, وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ, and give not in order to receive more, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ, and be patient for the sake of your Lord. Allah Azza wa Jal, as the Mufassirun have connected this last verse, وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ, and be patient for the sake of your Lord. Why? That which was about to come from trials and hardship that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was going to face regarding calling to this religion. Here, inshallah, ikhwan, we will analyze the steps and the trials that the Messenger ﷺ went through by calling the people to Tawheed. And within this, Ikhwan, is an ibrah and a lesson for us of how we should likewise safeguard our religion and our methodology. From this, Ikhwan, we can extrapolate for why, as Ahlul Ilm have mentioned, regarding the methodology that we should adapt in our time today. So when this call of Tawheed became widespread, or was becoming widespread, shall I say, this made the Mushrikun, the polytheists of Mecca at that time, the people of Quraysh, it made them uncomfortable that this call of Tawheed was growing. So what they did, they gathered and they had councils and they plotted and they planned that what are we going to do regarding this man that is calling to this. So then the series of plots started, and how they tried to debase the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which he was calling to. And they did that in a number of ways. First of them, Ikhwan, it mentions by way of sikhriya wal istihza, it mentions that the first way that what they did is they tried to ridicule, and likewise they tried to mock the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Why, Ikhwan? As Ahlul Ilm have mentioned, that when you belittle a person, then you are also belittling that which he is calling to. So this is from one of their methods, and this is what you find in our time as well, that when you belittle the person that is calling to a particular thing, then you are also belittling that which he is calling to. Here he mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالُوا يَا هَيُّوَ الَّذِي نُزِلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. They said, oh, and they say, oh Muhammad, to whom the dhikr, the Quran, has come down, verily you are a madman. So this is the alqab, and these are the names which they gave to him first, that you are a madman, a person who is insane. Likewise, in a verse it mentions, وَعَجِبُوا أَنْ جَاءُوا مُنذِرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَقَالَ الْكَافِرُونَ هَذَا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. And he mentions, and the pagans, meaning the mushrikun of Quraysh, they wondered when a warner came to them from amongst themselves, and the disbelievers, they said that this person, he is a sorcerer and a magician and nothing but a liar. So you see, Ikhwan, to belittle the person first, this was their technique, by calling him a liar and by calling him a mad person. The same way as in our time today, from them, from our scholars, that when our scholars are defending this manhaj and this methodology, then you find that they give them these names, and those that follow the methodology likewise, they start to give you names, that you are madkhaliyun or wahhabiyun or Albaniyun, whatever name they want to give you. The same way, Ikhwan, the same tariqah. They started off by giving them names and making mockery of the individual. And likewise, Ikhwan, in our time, when you find the du'at, the callers of this manhaj, likewise they do the same thing. They make stories, and likewise they give them certain titles to belittle them. And what is the intent? Is to belittle that which they are calling to is nothing but Salafiyya. Then they went on, Ikhwan, to go on and mention, أَهَٰؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. And they mocked the individuals that were following the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They said, is it these poor people, these poor believers, that has Allah favored amongst us? Their call was that we are the nobles, we are the individuals of position and power. So would it be that Allah chose these masakeen, these poor people, as the true believers, and it missed us? So they belittled the individuals that were believing. Then they went on, Ikhwan, to belittle the actual message itself, the actual call of worshipping one God. And likewise the stories of old, of how the other women were punished and what was about to come, they refer to this as ancient tales. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وقالوا أساطير الأولين. It mentions that they said that this is nothing but tales of old. So the actual message itself was mocked and laughed about and referred to as tales of old. From the way that they put doubts likewise, they mentioned certain elements of what the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling to, like saying to them that fear Allah, worship one God. Fear a day where you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear a day that you are going to be resurrected. So these are the particular things which they took and they made mockery of. Because this was unknown to the people at that time. That the people will actually be resurrected. And this is the doubt which they put in to the people. That are you going to follow this madman? Are you look what he is actually calling to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in this in the Quran. أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَإِذَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions regarding what they said. And they would say, and when we are dead, and when we have become dust and bones, shall we then be resurrected? This is what they used to say to the people. That come on, use your intellect. When you are dust and you are bones, you are dead. Do you really think that you are going to be resurrected? Trying to make the people have doubt that what this person is calling to is something which is far-fetched. Likewise, they also, from their doubts, what they said that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot receive revelation. Anyone that receives revelation, he must be of a very special status. And he cannot be somebody that eats and drinks and likewise walks the markets. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned here, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. They say, so why does this messenger, he mentions, why does he eat and why does he walk in the markets? Meaning that if he was a true messenger, then this is not the way of a messenger. A messenger, he is something special. He would not need to eat and he would not need to walk in the markets. And he mentions that مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَشْرٍ مِّنْ شَيْءٍ. And they went on to mention that nothing did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down on any human being. That a human being cannot receive this type of revelation if it was true. All of this, ikhwan, was to cause doubts regarding that to what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling to. From the means that they used, my brothers and sisters, is that they would prevent the people from listening to the Quran. For verily the Quran is a shafa'ah for the qulub, is a cure for the hearts. Verily the Quran, ikhwan, it guides the people. So what they did, they tried the people to stop from thinking, from listening to the revelation. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Quran, وَقَالَ الَّذِي كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُ لُهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِي لَعَلَّكُمْ تُغْلِبُونَ. And they would say, and those who disbelieved, they said, do not listen to the Quran. Make noise in the midst of their recitation. Why? So that you may overcome the recitation by way of sound. So the recitation will not be heard. This recitation, ikhwan, is nothing but the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is true guidance. This is how the technique is, ikhwan. From those individuals from the deviant sects today, they apply the same methodology. They want to take you away from the hidayah. They want to take you away from qala Allah wa qala Rasul. They want to take you away from the aqwal of the Salaf. Because once you take away the guidance, nothing is left except for misguidance. Nothing is left except for the views and the opinions of man. And he can say as he wants according to his desires. So this is the way, ikhwan, from old and likewise in our time today, that they wish to take you away from this methodology. They may use different wording, but the concept is the same. They want to take you away from this methodology that is nothing but qala Allah wa qala Rasul ala fahma salaf al-salih. They wish to take you away from that, as Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has mentioned, that today we have many of these different partisanships that have occurred, and they come and they call to that which they say is Salafiyah. They call to that which is the Quran and the Sunnah. But really, they warn from the methodology of the Salaf. They warn against this. So Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, he mentions, then what hidayah are there upon? How can you get to Quran and the Sunnah except by way of the Salaf? So what is their intent? And this is the concept which I mentioned to you is taken from Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, that they will take you away from the Quran and the Sunnah, and nothing will be left, even though they use the same titles, that we are the people of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because they know now that people are educated, and they know enough that our religion is on Quran and Sunnah. So they have to mention this. But within it, Ikhwan, they forsake the methodology. Why? In order, if you take this away, then nothing is left except for their views. So this is Ikhwan, from the plots and plans of all, that likewise in our time today. Likewise, Ikhwan, from the trials that the Messenger ﷺ faced regarding when he came and brought the message, is that they would request from the Messenger ﷺ miracles. Things which were impossible for any human being to bring about, except by way of the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran that they would say and they would mock, "O Messenger, if you were truly a messenger, then cause the heavens to fall upon us in pieces as you are basically frightening us. And likewise, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of us. Or bring the angels in front of us. If truly you are believers. Or truly if what you are saying is the truth." The same way as the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they said that we will not believe up until we see Allah Azza wa Jal. Up until you bring Allah in front of us and we see Allah with our naked eye. The same plots and plans, Ikhwan. Likewise, they would also request, Ikhwan, miracles, as in the sense of what is reported here in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It mentions, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, أن قريش قالت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ادع لنا ربك أيجعل لنا صفا ذهبا ونؤمن بك. What is reported and collected in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad on the authority of Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما, he said that the people of Quraysh, they came to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, make dua, supplicate to Allah that he will bring for us a mountain of gold, and then we will believe. If you bring a mountain of gold, then we will believe. So the Messenger alayhi wasallam said, وَتَفْعَلُونَ, meaning that you will carry this out, meaning that you will believe. And they replied, نعم. فَدَعَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the Messenger alayhi wasallam, he made this supplication. It mentions Ikhwan in the hadith, فَأَتَاهُ جِبْرِيلْ فَقَالْ. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he came to the Messenger alayhi wasallam and said that your Lord sends salams upon you. And then he went on to mention, وَيَقُولْ إِنْ شِتَّ أَصْبَعْ لَهُمْ صَفًّا ذَهَبًا. If you want, then Allah will bring this mountain of gold for them. فَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ أَذَبْتُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, your Lord, he says, that if you want me to bring this mountain of gold, I will do it. But once I have brought this mountain of gold, if any one of them was to disbelieve after this, then I would punish them with a punishment that has not come to the that it has not come to any of the people of old. For any of mankind or anyone in the dominions have not received such a punishment. And then he mentions, وَإِنْ شِتَّ فَتَحْتَ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابَ تَوْبَةٍ وَرَحْمَةٍ. I said, if you please, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open to them the doors of repentance and istighfar and mercy. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he chose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of repentance and mercy for them. And then he mentions after this, the verse came down, وَمَا مَنَعَ أَن نُرْسِلَ بِآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا أَوْ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ نَاقَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلَ بِآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. And then this verse came down. And nothing stops us from sending down these verses and these signs of meaning of that which they are requesting. But the people of old, they denied them. And we sent to them a she-camel, meaning to the people of Thamud. And that was a clear sign. They requested a sign, so Allah gave them a sign. But they did her wrong, meaning the she-camel. And then afterwards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes and mentions, and we sent not the signs except to warn and make the people afraid.
Brothers, can you move forward, barakallahu fikum, to make space for the brothers outside?
Jazakumullahu khairan, ikhwan. If the brothers could try to move forward and try to make some space, because we hear that some brothers are outside. Jazakumullahu khairan. Then my brothers and sisters, continue listening to what the Messenger ﷺ had to face. After them trying to belittle the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ, and not successful in that, because verily the Messenger was known as a truthful person even to them. And then that, they tried to mock the actual message that the Messenger came with. Then they started to request and put doubts in regarding the resurrection. And then likewise, they started, ikhwan, to request things, miracles. Then they went on, ikhwan, and when the call of Tawheed was spreading, this made them very, very uncomfortable. So they thought, what do we do now? So then they came to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the plea of exchanging the religions, of exchanging of what we have to what the Messenger alayhi wa sallam has. So they came to the Messenger alayhi wa sallam requesting and saying that we will worship what you worship, and likewise you worship what we worship, and then we will look, then we will look to what the good of your religion has, and we will take that, and you likewise look to see the good of our religion, and we will take that, and we will come together, meaning the two religions built upon what is good from the mushrikun and what was good from the deen of Islam. So we will merge with this. The same thing, ikhwan, that the ikhwan al-muslimun say today, that we all merge together, and whatever is good from what you're upon and your way of learning of Islam, we will take, and then likewise you take what we have which is good, and anything that we disagree with, that we remain quiet upon, and we just merge together. How do we tackle such things, ikhwan? What is our answer to this? Our answer to this is what the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them. After they came with this plea, what was the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer? What did he reply to them? Qul ya al kafirun. That surah came down, and that was the answer to their plea. Lakum dinukum waliyadin. You have your religion and we have our religion. I have my religion. We do not compromise our religion, ikhwan. We do not compromise our methodology. We look to the seerah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look to see what he faced, and we learn from those examples. So when they come today and they say to us that you compromise your salafiyah, you compromise that which you are upon regarding the sunnah, we are now living in the times of 2000. This is what they say. The deen of today is different from that time. We face different circumstances. So why don't we come together? Ikhwan, we do not compromise our deen. We do not compromise our usul. We do not compromise our tawheed and our aqeedah. There is no success in that. There is no maslaha in that whatsoever, my brothers and sisters. You will never have success and tawfiq, ikhwan, by selling out your usul and likewise your methodology. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew there's no one better or more wiser regarding this word which they use, the maslaha, the bigger picture. There's no one better than understanding that than the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And if we analyze the Sunnah, yes, there was times when the Messenger ﷺ did have maslaha. There were times that he would refrain from certain things. There was times when he was harsh. But ikhwan, by Allah, there was never any time, no matter how much hardship he faced, and likewise the companions, there was never a time where he compromises asool. There was never a time when he compromised the aqeedah and the tawheed, ikhwan. So do not be misunderstood with this thing of maslaha. Maslaha, ikhwan, is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah ala fahma salaf as-salih. After that, ikhwan, the asalib and the methods which they use to wage war against the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is they try to come to him with other means now. They try to come to him by way of knowledge. That we will tackle this person with knowledge. So what they did? They went to the Jews. Which is mentioned here, which is collected, it mentions that they went, which is also collected in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. It mentions, and Ibn Abbas قال قالت القريش لليهود أعطونا الشيء نسأل عنه هذا الرجل فقالوا سألوه عن الروح. It mentions what is collected in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad on the authority of Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما that the mushrikun of Quraysh, they went to the Jews and said, give us something that we may question this man. And the intent of give us something by way of knowledge is something that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not reply. Something that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not reply with an answer with no knowledge. So the Jews said, question him regarding the soul. Side point, ikhwan, our ulama, they mention that here is a side point to show you that the Jews, they have knowledge, but they do not act upon it. They know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like they know their own sons. So they said to the mushrikun, question him regarding the soul. And then the verse came down, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Then the verse came down and they say, and they request from you, O Muhammad, concerning the ruh. Say, it is from those things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of. And the knowledge which has been given to mankind is very little. This was the answer to this, of what they was requesting. And then the audacity of the Yahud, ikhwan, listen to what they said. They went on to say, قَالُوا أُوْطِينَ عِلْمًا كَثِيرًا وَعُوْطِينَ التَّوْرَاتِ وَمَنْ أُوْتِيَ التَّوْرَاتِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. It mentions that verily we have knowledge. Verily we have been given the Torah. And whomsoever has been given the Torah, then they have much good with them. So then it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down the verse, كُلَّوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادَ الْكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِضَ الْبَحْرُ. It mentions and the verse came down, say, O Muhammad, if the sea was to be ink for writing, verily the words of your Lord, it mentions the words of your Lord, will be outmatched regarding the size of the sea. Meaning surely that the sea would be exhausted and finished before the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that which they have been given by way of Torah is very, very little indeed. The knowledge which they possess is very, very small indeed. Likewise, ikhwan, we learn from this. We learn from this, ikhwan, that we must have knowledge. We must have knowledge, ikhwan, to tackle our enemies. The person of Sunnah, the Salafi, has many, many enemies. Why? Because as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that this ummah will be split into 73 sects. All of them in the hellfire except for one. So the majority are upon dalal. And very, very few are upon the straight path, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. So you find that they are the strangers amongst people. you'll find that everyone wants to bring them down. Everybody wants to harm them and belittle them. And they will come at you at all ways. And the ways that they come at you at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise in our time today, is they try to come with doubts. They try to pollute this methodology that has come to us. So ikhwan, it's upon us by Allah to have knowledge of that which we are calling to. It's upon us to understand and have knowledge of the pure guidance. This is our silah. This is the weapon that we have against these people. We cannot go and fight on the battlefield without any weapons, as they say. Likewise, this is a form of ikhwan, of a battle that we are in. So our weaponry is knowledge, is ilm, and it's upon all of us to seek that knowledge. And that knowledge is indeed the Quran and the Sunnah, and likewise to learn about the aqwal of the Salaf and the methodology of the Salaf. All of these, ikhwan, is from the seed of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it gives you an idea of the methodology. It gives you an idea of how these principles that we extrapolate. We don't compromise our deen. We are individuals that seek knowledge. Because if you have knowledge, ikhwan, then you are strong. Likewise, ikhwan, it mentions, after all of this, the next thing which they used, the next fitna which they used to try to stop the call of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was to try to open up the dunya for him. Is to give him riches, is to give him wealth, leadership, kingship, all of these things, ikhwan, it mentions that were given to him. It mentions or was offered to him. It mentions arsalat al-Quraysh Utba ibn Rabi'ah. It mentions that the Quraysh, they sent Utba ibn Rabi'ah to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he came to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya ibn Akhi, in kunta innama turid bima jitta bihi min al-hadha al-amar malan, jama'na laka min al-amwalina hatta takuna aktharuna mala. He said to him, O brother, O son of my brother, if your intent is, meaning coming with this message, that what you are calling to, if your intent is money and wealth, then we will gather all of the wealth for you, and we will give you this wealth. So then you will be the one that has the most wealth from amongst us. Likewise, they said to him that if you want from this leadership, and you want to be our king, then we will give you this. In another riwayah, it mentions regarding whatever woman you desire, then you may have her. All of these things, ikhwan, were offered to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they tried all the other means and it was not working, they tried to buy the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And just ponder. Just ponder and reflect upon the example. Here we have a man calling to Tawheed. They are mocking him. They are making life extremely hard for him. They are very few in number. And then they give him this offer, that we will make you our leader. We will make you a leader. He mentions in one of the narrations that none of our decisions will be made except that you have a say in our decisions. We will give you any woman that you desire in the time of the hardship of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ponder upon what his answer was. He said, "Hal faraqta ya Aba Walid?" Qala na'am. قال فاسمع مني قال افعل. He said, speaking to Utba, he said, have you finished regarding what you come to say, meaning the offer that he gave to the Messenger Ali? He said, have you finished? He said, yes. So then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, then listen to me. This is the answer now of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding for him having all of these riches, regarding him having position. This is things, ikhwan, the methodology that we take today. We should look into these examples and extrapolate the principles and make them applicable in our lives. When he had the whole world that was opened up for him, he listened to the offer and then he said, have you finished? He said, yes. And he said, okay, listen to me. And this was his reply. فقال بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم تنزيل من الرحمن الرحيم كتاب فصلت آياته قرآنا عربيا لقوم يعلمون بشيرا ونذيرا فأعرض أكثرهم فهم لا يسمعون وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعون إليه. This was his answer. Allahu Akbar. He said, حاميم. A revelation from Allah, the most beneficent and the most merciful. A book where the verses are explained in detail. A Quran in Arabic. He said, for a people, so they may know. A giver of glad tidings and a warner. But most of them, they turn away and they listen not. And they say that our hearts, they have a covering and seal for that which you call us to. And then he went on to mention, he said, did you hear this, Ya Aba Walid? فَأَنْتَ وَذَلِكَ. He said, did you listen to what I said? And he said, yes. He said, verily that is you. Meaning that you are from those individuals that their hearts are turned away from listening to that which the Messenger alayhi wasallam is calling to. Look at the jawab, ikhwan. When he received riches, or he had the offer of riches, he did not budge. Rather, his answer was the revelation. His answer was of rejection to what they was calling to, or what that which they was offering. Ikhwan, this is the same way how we should adapt and protect the methodology that has come to us. This manhaj and this deen, we don't sell it out. We don't sell our religion. We don't compromise it. We are a people, ikhwan, that are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek our reward with Allah. We don't call to this call because of money. We don't call to this call because we want position. That is not what we call to. Don't be of those individuals, ikhwan, that yesterday was with us, that today they are no longer with us, because the dinar has purchased them out, because the dollar has purchased them, and they have left their religion. We learn this by studying the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of his companions. They would not sell their religion. Their religion and their aqidah and their tawheed and their methodology was priceless. There was no price to it. They would not exchange that. And going back to this, ikhwan, going back to this example of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it mentions in that narration that when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting, Utbah was taken back. He was taken back, and he mentions that he put his hands behind his back and he was listening. And then afterwards he went back to his people. And he mentions that these people said, رَعَ عُتْبَى فَقَامَ عُتْبَى إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ فَقَالَ بَعْضُمْ لِبَعْضُ نَحْلِفْ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ جَعُكُمْ أَبُو وَلِيدٍ بِغَيْلِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي ذَهَبَ بِهِ. When he came back from amongst these people, from the mushrikun, they said that by Allah, the face that he went with, meaning to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not the face that he came back with. It's not the same one. So then they questioned him, that what do you say? What took place? What is your view regarding this man? And listen to this, ikhwan, just a side point to show you what the Quran does, how the Quran is a guidance and a cure for the hearts. Listen to what this mushrik And this kafir said, when they questioned him, he said, قَدْ سَمِتُ قَوْلًا وَاللَّهِ مَا سَمِتُ مِثْلُهُ قَدْ وَاللَّهِ مَا هُوَ بِشِعْرْ وَلَا بِسِحْرْ. He said, verily I heard a statement, and by Allah, I have heard nothing similar to it. He said, by Allah, it is not poetry, and by Allah, it is not sihr. And then they said to him afterwards, that verily this person, meaning the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has beguiled you, he has bewitched you. And then he went on to mention and said, هَذَا رَأِي فِيهِ فَاسْدَعُ مَا شِئْتَ. He said, this is my view and my opinion regarding what I heard, so you do as you please. So even ikhwan, the most wretched of them, a disbeliever, a mushrik, when he heard the Quran, when the truth came to them, he knew that this was not nothing of falsehood. A side point, ikhwan, that this is what ilm is. This is why is upon us to learn the Quran and to learn the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to learn the qawaid of our deen. For verily this will be a safeguard for ourselves, and likewise it will aid us when we are calling the people to the truth. And before I continue, ikhwan, there is only a short bit which I have left to say. As you may have well have gathered from our visit of our noble brother Abu Hatim Hafidhullah Ta'ala, the son of Sheikh Zayd, you would have noticed that from the ways of the Mashaykh, especially from the region of Samata, and our Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi Rahimullah, and likewise Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, you will find that the lectures do not prolong too long. They do not go on maximum 35 minutes, and with a bit of explanation and discussion, it may stretch to 45 minutes. So inshallah, on that note, ikhwan, bear with me, and there is not long to go inshallah. There's only one or two points which I have left. And before I do finish, I would just like to mention, alhamdulillah, from my last visit here, and the time that we, from then to now, it brings, mashallah, joy to the eye, to see, mashallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, our brothers upon the sunnah, and how this masjid, when it first started, was not even half full. And now, walillah alhamd, from the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal, is a sign, alhamdulillah, that the dawah is spreading. And just to remind our brothers, our dawah is not numbers. We do not calculate the truth just by having mere numbers. But we know that alhamdulillah is not the call to numbers. But what I'm saying is alhamdulillah, from the tawfiq of Allah Azza wa Jal, to see, mashallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, that there is not even a space left in the masjid to pray on, is alhamdulillah, is a joy to see that so many brothers are coming together, alhamdulillah, that the da'wah is spreading. May Allah give you thibat and keep you upon the sirat al-mustaqim up until you meet the yaqeen. Ameen. So we continue, ikhwan, regarding the series of things that the mushrikeen, they did to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to try to crush and to destroy the da'wah of tawheed. And we have analyzed, alhamdulillah, the methodology adapted. The methodology that is adapted, and the qawaid which are taken from the examples of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we move on to the final bit, ikhwan, and the plots and plans of the shaitan, of the mushrikun, what they did against the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after failing to discredit the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after failing to debase the call that he was calling to, after failing to try to offer him riches, after all of these things that failed, ikhwan, there was nothing left except by way of physical harm, is to bring harm to the noble Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his followers, those that were following his call. And we'll give you inshallah some examples of this now. It mentions what is collected in Bukhari. And Urwa ibn Zubair qal, Sa'altu Abdullah ibn Amr, an ashadda ma sana'a al-mushrikun bi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It mentions what is collected in Bukhari and Urwa ibn Zubair. He questioned Abdullah ibn Amr regarding the most severe thing, regarding the most severe thing that the mushrikun they did to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he replied by saying, قال رأيت عقبة ابن أبي معيط جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يصلي. He said, verily I did see عقبة ابن أبي معيط. He came to the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم while he was praying. While he was praying, he began to strangle the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He was strangling the Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then فجاء أبو بكر حتى دفعوا عن. And then Abu Bakr al-Siddiq رضي الله تعالى عنه, he came and then he went on to mention, he stopped him from doing this and he said, فقال أتقتلون رجلا أن يقول ربي الله وقد جاءكم بالبينات من ربكم. He said, are you going to kill a man that is saying that my Lord is Allah and he has come with clear بينات, clear guidance and clarity from his Lord? You are going to kill such an individual? Likewise, what is collected in Bukhari and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yusalli inda al-bayt wa Abu Jahl wa ashabahu lahu julus idh qala ba'dhum li ba'd ayyukum yuji bisalli juzur bani fulan fayasna'u ala dhahri Muhammad idha sajad. It mentions what is reported in Bukhari that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying by the bait, which is the Kaaba. And it mentions Abu Jahl and his friends and his companions, they were sitting close by. And then one of them said to another, that which one of you will bring the intestines of a dead animal? Which one of you will bring this? And when the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will prostrate, then what we will do, we will put these intestines of a dead animal on his back. And then he mentions that the most wretched of them, he said, I will. And then he went and then he came with the intestines of a dead animal. And he mentions, حَتَّى سَجَدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَوَضَعُ عَلَى ظَهْرِهِ. He said, up until the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prostrated. So they took these intestines of a dead animal and they put it on his back between his two shoulders. And it mentions the narrator Ibn Mas'ud. He says, وَأَنَا أَنْظُرْ لَا أُغَيْرْ شَيْئًا لَوْ كَانَ لِي مَنْعَى. He said that I am seeing this, Ibn Mas'ud. He said, I saw this and I did not have the ability to change anything. If only I had the strength to be able to help him. But he couldn't do nothing. And he mentions, فَجَعَلُوا يَضْحَقُونَ وَيُحِيلْ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. He said that they began to laugh. They began to laugh with one another. And shrugging and touching each other like this, laughing at what they have just done to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ibn Mas'ud, he says that I am watching but I don't have the strength to do anything. And then he mentions that Fatima, she came and she removed this from the back of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he raised his head and then he came out of prostration and he said, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Three times he said, oh Allah, it's upon you, the people of Quraysh, mean to deal with them. Three times. And then he went on to mention that he mentioned them by name. He mentioned, the narrator mentions that he named seven. He named seven of them and he could only recall six of them. And then he went on to mention at the end of the hadith, he said, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي لَقَدْ رَيْتَ الَّذِينَ عَدَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ سَرْعَ فِي قَلِيبِ قَلِيبِ الْبَدْرِ. It mentions, by the one who has my soul in his hands, verily the ones that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that he counted in this dua, that he supplicated against. He said, by Allah, I saw all seven of them dead in the well of Badr. All seven of them dead in the well of Badr. So my brothers and my sisters, do not despair. Inna Allaha ma'a sabirin. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the patient ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forsake the righteous ones. You are not doing nothing wrong by holding on to your methodology. You are not doing nothing wrong and holding steadfast to your methodology and to your deen. Do not compromise your deen regardless what they plot and regardless what they say. Likewise, from examples of what they did, it mentions what is likewise collected in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. He said, and Abdullah qal awwal man adhara islamuhu sab'a. He said, which is reflected in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, that there were seven that made the Islam manifest first. As for Abu Bakr, it mentions, as for the Messenger alayhi wa sallam, he was protected by his uncle. And as for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, likewise, he was a noble man. He had sharaf amongst his people, so his people, they protected him. But it mentions that the others, that they had to go through a gruesome ordeal. They were punished. And it mentions from them, Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala an. It mentions that he was punished. He was laid on the floor, and he was stripped from his chest, and he was put hot boulders on, hot stones on his chest, and he was punished, and punished, and punished. And the only thing that came from his mouth was Ahad, Ahad. Not once did he forsake his deen. Not once did he forsake his religion. And likewise, what happened to likewise Ammar mentions, and his father and his mother Sumayya, how they were punished, and how Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, how the spear was inserted in her private parts. Ikhwan, just ponder upon these examples. Extreme punishment. But not once did they forsake that which they believed. In our time, Ikhwan, we have no sword which is on our necks. We have no gun which is pointing towards us, that we have to compromise our religion. These individuals, Ikhwan, from them, the noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was beaten. His sacred blood was spilt in order to bring this deen to us. The companions, they fought, Ikhwan. The companions, they gave their lives to bring this methodology of Salafiyya. And I say, yes, Salafiyya. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Because that which is Salafiyya, Ikhwan, whether you want to call it Salafiyya, or whether you have a problem with that name, or whether you say Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ikhwan, it is the same thing that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. It is the same thing that the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were upon. They died, Ikhwan. They gave their blood to bring this methodology to us. So how can it be today, Ikhwan, when we have absolutely no pressure upon us, yet we have individuals that give away their religion, they give away their manhaj for the sake of money, or for the sake of some position, or whatever worldly benefit it may be, they give it away so easily. Ikhwan, do not compromise your deen. Hold firm unto your deen. As the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, hold unto me with your loyalty. And finally, Ikhwan, I leave you with this final hadith which was mentioned in Bukhari. When the companions, they came to the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they mentioned Shakuna ila Rasulillah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he mentions Qulna lahu ala tastansir lana ala tad'u Allah lana. It mentions that the companions, from the excessive difficulties that they were facing, the hardships that they were facing, they came to the Messenger alayhi wasalam complaining, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, will you not seek aid from Allah for us? Will you not supplicate to Allah? Will you not make dua for us? Meaning for aid. And then the Messenger alayhi wasalam replied by saying, كان رجل في من قبلكم يحفر له في الأرض فيجعل فيه فجاء بالمنشار فيضع على رأسي فيشك باثنتين. He said, verily, there was a man before, narrating from the story of old, that there was a man before, and he would be brought forth, and there would be a hole that was dug in the ground, and then he would be put forth in this hole, and then they would bring a sword in one ponder. And he said that his head would be sawn into two. They would saw his head into two. وَمَا يَصُدُّ ذَٰلِكَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. And that would not, even that would not make him forsake his religion and that which he believed. They would saw his head into two, and he would not forsake that which he believed. And then he mentions that they would bring a coal, a metal coal, and he mentions that they would scrape the skin. They would scrape the skin up until the skin was gone and only bone were left. And it mentions that would not make them forsake that which they believed. It would not make them leave that which they believed. And then he went on to say, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you are hasty. You are people that are hasty. And this is why we go back, ikhwan, to when the Messenger alayhi wasalam was ordered, Ya ayyuhal mudathir, O Muhammad, wrapped in these garments, kum fa'anzir, stand and arise and warn the people, call to this deen. And at the end of it, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلِرَبِّكَ فَاصْبِرْ. And be patient for the sake of your Lord. So we say, ikhwan, be patient for the sake of your Lord. The hardships that you will face, ikhwan, is likewise documented on those people that came before us. Their trials were harder, but they gave their life to preserve what has come to us today. So that has come to us today, ikhwan. Be thankful servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be thankful servants and hold on to this methodology, this game, this deen which is strong, ikhwan. And do not compromise your deen and your salafiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر لي ولكم استغفروه إنه غفور رحيم.